Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, May 9th, 2017. With me today from the MacCast, I have Adam Christensen. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing well.
And it's great to have you here, in addition to our usual iOS show routine with Michael Johnston. So, yeah, it's fun to get to do an extra show with you.
Nice to always get together and do some podcasting.
Yes, indeed. And my partner in crime from Apple Context Machine, Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Happy to be here.
And now, everyone, you can see exactly why I'm so excited that I get to do multiple shows with Brian every week.
Giddy up.
Giddy up. Hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is iMazing, and I'm really glad that they're sponsoring us because they're, without even realizing it, they're helping me out a lot this week. Hey, but before I talk about our sponsors, we need to hop in to it's kind of a follow-up to yesterday. Yesterday, we were talking about whether or not there should be displays on these smart home appliances that are voice control assistants, like the Echo and from Amazon and Google Home. And now today, Amazon just announced the Echo Show, which is their Echo with a display on it. And so the short version is that this is a device that would sit on your counter, or will sit on your counter. It has speakers built in, has a 7-inch display, has a camera. So when you bark your commands to your Echo and it replies with its voice, it can now show things on the display at the same time. So you can get those weather forecasts that you would otherwise just listen to. You can get news videos to go along with your daily news reports. You can look at your schedule, and it has a camera, so you can do video chats as well. But you have to do them with people that have an Echo Show or that have the Alexa app on their smartphone.
And that's an Amazon app. I think that's legit.
It's an Amazon app, but it's not called Amazon. The app that's called Amazon is the one you shop with.
Right.
The one that's called Alexa is the one that you talk to or control your Echo from. Yeah. So we know that's out or coming out. And what do you guys think?
June 28th, right? Something like that?
Yes.
Do you get the impression that, I'm going to phrase that. Eagles to Bagels says that Phil Schiller wanted to get his comments on the record before Amazon released this thing. I have no evidence for this.
I kind of got the impression that what Schiller was kind of talking about was just having like a touchscreen kind of controls. At least that was my initial impression. Did he really mean, and I'm sorry, I apologize because I missed the conversation. I haven't heard the conversation from yesterday yet, but so maybe this is rehashing, but was it really, you know, a screen for like viewing video, or was it more just touch control screen for more informational buttons sort of stuff?
It's a touch screen that gives you additional information about whatever your query is. The example he used, which I think is a really bad example for the context this was the discussion happened in, was maps, where you get directions somewhere and hearing them is fine, but being able to see them as well makes it much easier to understand where you're going.
Yeah, that is a terrible example for an in-home device, though.
Yeah.
Right. To answer your question, Brian, I mean, it may be to some degree. It sounds like it could be legit. I mean, the timing is certainly interesting on both going in both directions.
You could turn it on its head, and I bet you that comment from Phil Schiller would not have been made publicly before Apple released something if he hadn't said it before Amazon released this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he said before Amazon announces this is the show, right?
Right.
Okay.
Echo Show.
Before Apple or Amazon releases the show, it is it's staking out Apple's future position, said after the show, but before Apple would release its own product, it only legitimizes what Amazon's already done. I'm talking purely about the philosophy here.
Yeah. The only thing that gives me hesitation or pause on that is it just seems like looking at this Echo Show thing, this is not at all what Apple would intend or envision, because the thing is dang ugly. Sorry, it just is.
I agree with you. I mean, when I look at that, it looks to me like a device that came from 1998, but with a much higher quality display.
I'm going to up that up a little bit. I'm just made up that phrase right there. I'm going to up that up. Apple, there is no period in Apple's history when Apple would have released a product as ugly as that thing. Going back to the Lisa and maybe even the Apple One on a bare breadboard. This thing is ugly.
I already said it feels like a re-envisioning of the failed 3COM Audrey computer. And for those people who don't remember that, 3COM tried to come out with, it was kind of like a video communication kitchen assistant kind of appliance where you could do email and messaging, and it would have your schedule and it could have your family to-do list and your shopping list, and it also had a screen and a camera. I think it also had a keyboard. I can't remember if it had a stylus or not, but you know, it was designed as a kitchen appliance, and it looked very not similar to, it actually had a better design, I think, than this thing. Although it's very, if you look at it, looks like it was designed for the age when it was released, which I think was in the mid 2000s. So it's just funny that, you know, this, you had to have another Audrey to communicate with it. And it sounds like with this Echo thing, it's odd that they're tying it into their own video chat system. But I'm guessing the idea is that that's supplemental. Another thing I find interesting about this Amazon product is that it seems like video news flashes are going to be built in, sort of like your news flashes for your Echo. Mm-hmm. And then also YouTube videos. But I didn't see any mention of like Amazon Prime Video being supported.
I didn't see any mention of that either.
So it's obviously not for that.
That will come.
You think so? Or you think it's just not part of the target marketing for this, where this is meant to be purely an informational, quick informational kind of device. So YouTube videos seem appropriate because they tend to be short and maybe how to's on cooking and stuff like that, versus you're not going to sit in front of this and watch a TV show.
You want to have a TV show on while you're cooking? I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You can definitely do music on it. So
sure.
Yeah, so you can stream music and it'll show lyrics for whatever you're listening to.
Well, they do mention Dolby enhanced stereo audio, so that would seem appropriate for video and movie, you know, for TV and movie content. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I $230, the pricing seems okay. I'm just wondering if lots of people are going to buy these. It's also interesting that it seems like it doesn't look like the display tilts or anything like that. So you're sort of at fixed angle for video, which is going to mean positioning this on your kitchen counter is going to be weird.
Yeah. And I'm visualizing a lot of people having video chats where you're just looking at their stomach.
Or up their nose.
Yeah.
With the rubber hose.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right, here's an interesting thing. The Dot and the Echo are actually reasonably attractive devices. Mm-hmm. Your mileage may vary on that, but I would say that both of those are the best industrial design that Amazon has put out to date. This is some of the worst industrial design I've seen in a very, 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 very long time. It'll still probably sell. It'll still probably be crushed by whatever Apple ends up doing with the Siri-based device.
Did you guys comment? The only other thing on the screen thing, especially as far as Apple's concerned, you know, I get what Schiller was saying in terms of maps, and it sort of makes sense. I worry that Siri suffers the same problem if there's a screen that she currently does with iOS devices, which is it's a crutch. It's a fallback to be able to just say, oh, let me just show you this thing on the web, rather than actually having to be smart about trying to figure out what your intent is and actually delivering you bite-sized bits of information that you're probably looking for.
It's funny you should say that, because I fully expect that's exactly what's going to happen with this device, that the screen is going to be a crutch.
Well, and see, that's the thing. When I talk to Amazon Echo owners, they talk about Alexa being smarter, quote unquote, smarter than Siri. And I've always maintained a big part of that perceived smartness is the fact that the Alexa devices can't fall back on a screen. So they had to be smarter about how to parse and present back information. And that makes it feel like a smarter device, because it's actually trying, or at least attempting to, and most of the time actually answering your question back with legitimate information. Whereas Siri has the crutch of saying, well, I couldn't quite figure that out, so my best guess and probably the best thing for me to do is send you to a website. But the problem there is at that point you feel like, I could have just Googled that myself. Thank you very much, Siri, for not doing anything for me.
Yeah. And it wouldn't surprise me if we start hearing the same complaints about the Echo, at least
the Echo Show.
Yeah, for the Echo Show. Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like the wrong direction to be moving in as far as assistant goes. But maybe I'm missing the point. Maybe that's not what this is about. Maybe this seems to be more about communication, in my opinion, than, and even there, it seems like it's maybe poorly implemented, I guess, is the problem I'm having with it.
Yeah.
Wait, are we still talking about the show? You're talking about
the show. No, I'm talking about the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I just seems like a weird direction. I'm not, because the Echo has got such rave reviews, excuse me, and people seem to really like it, and it seems to be a very positive for Amazon. And then you look at this and you're like, well, what is this? If it's not an extension of that ecosystem, like it, and it obviously is supposed to be, but it seems like the focus again is on video chat communication and those sorts of applications. I mean, that's what is additive, that's what this adds over and above, just like, say, a Dot or a traditional Echo, unless I'm missing something.
No, you've probably nailed it. And my guess is there will be a lot of people that are very skeptical right now about the show, the Echo Show, that will change their mind come June 28th when they can get one in their hands. And then they'll be like, oh, I totally get it now. And it's possible I'll be in that group. But right now, I'm not seeing the value in adding a display to my Echo setup.
Well, they definitely want you to buy them in pairs. You know, you get $100 off
if you're comfortable having a home wiretap device for surveillance capitalism in your home, and you don't mind the god-awfully bad industrial design, having the display on the Echo is going to be a great thing. I mean, Phil Schiller is right about the Phil Schiller's premise that these devices need a display, I think is spot on.
Yeah, but I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because I've become very accustomed to not being tied to a specific location when I'm interacting with an Echo.
Did he specifically say that a display had to be on the product?
No, just said it needed a display.
So that's an interesting thought, too. And I don't know if maybe we leave it there. But now I'm thinking, you know, we already all have iOS displays.
No, yeah. Man, Apple is going to make a home device for Siri. And Phil says it needs a display.
Is it your TV screen?
No.
Is it your iPad? Is it your iPhone? Or is it going to be on the dang thing?
And it's going to be on the dang thing.
Is that really useful?
Yes. Be useful.
I'm kind of with Jeff. I don't know that it is.
Yeah.
On the device, because now you're in a fixed location.
Put one of these home wiretap devices in your home and let me know how that works out.
All right. I'll see if I can get Amazon to send me one, because I'm just not sure I want to buy one.
Dear Amazon, please send me one of your ugly ass shows. I want to review it.
I'll work on the wording on that.
All right, you're welcome.
Thanks. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing. And what I love about iMazing is that it's this great app that I can use on my Mac, and you can use it on Windows machines too, to get at the contents that's on your iPhone or your iPad or your iPod Touch. And for me, this has been great because just recently I have been dealing with, I know, huge surprise, iTunes completely screwed up my music library. And I was able to sort out most of it, but I ended up with a problem where I had, I think it was 5 songs that were considered orphaned. And what that means is that iTunes knew they should be there, but they weren't on my computer anymore. But they were on my iPad. So I was able to use iMazing, go onto my iPad, get those songs back, put them onto my Mac, and then into my iTunes library, and I fixed that problem. And it was just wonderfully simple. Just find the songs, move them over, and you're done. And it saved me a lot of complaining. It saved all of you from a major tirade on Twitter, where I was fully prepared to rant about my problem until I fired up iMazing. And you guys can check it out yourselves and see if it does what you need. So here's what you do. Head over to the iMazing website, iMazing.com/TDO, iMazing.com/TDO. And when you're there, you can download a trial version, and you can also use that link so you get 20% off when you go to buy your own copy. Now, for some of you, it's possible that you'll think, all I need is a really good system that I can control for backing up my iPhone. Turns out you can use iMazing for that for free, even if you don't buy. So you can still get it and use it as a backup tool and not have to pay any money for it. But you're going to want to take advantage of that 20% off deal, because you'll probably very quickly find that the other features it offers, being able to get into all the rest of your data, is pretty, pretty handy. So go check it out, iMazing.com/TDO. Use that discount code TDO, get 20% off your copy, and you'll save yourself from Twitter rants, and you'll be able to find all your music and all your other files, and it's a wonderful thing. So thank you, iMazing, for being our sponsor. All right. So quickly before we wrap up, because we are so close to out of time, hey, what do you guys think about Senator Dianne Feinstein spilling the beans on the classified information about how much the FBI paid for the San Bernardino iPhone hack? $900,000.
She really just confirmed what had already leaked, yes, like sometime last year, about how much the FBI paid for that. Senator Feinstein is just like so wrong on encryption, and it drives me nuts. She's an incredibly intelligent woman who is in the thick of the intelligence side of what the Senate does in its oversight capacity. Mm-hmm. And she knows enough to understand that you can't have a back door that's only open to one party. She knows that she has constituent companies within her home state of California, a little place called California, that have been talking about this aspect of encryption and the protections that it offers to the country as a whole for a very, very long time. And yet she keeps talking about the government needing backdoor access.
And it's, don't call it a backdoor, Brian.
Drives me
then
nuts.
And it's not a backdoor.
Yeah, that's Senator Cummings' take. Right. And he says, we don't want backdoors. We just want to have a way to get at your encrypted data without having to go through your security passcodes.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, FBI Director Comey.
Yeah, he's him too. And then Senator Feinstein said that it was a good thing they had paid that money and got into Saeed Farouk's work phone. When we already know the FBI has already said that there was nothing on it. I don't understand why she there's missing information here. I have enormous respect for Senator Feinstein's intellect and the vast majority of the body of her work. But on this, there's missing information because what she was saying on that particular phone doesn't jive with what we've already heard. And her entire position on encryption and backdoor access does not jive with reality.
No. And the law enforcement, I believe it was San Bernardino police chief, before anyone was able to actually hack into Syed Farouk's iPhone, said that they did not expect to find anything of value on the device.
Right. And don't get me wrong. From a law enforcement perspective, you have to make sure. Right. And so I don't blame the FBI for wanting to get into that phone. They needed to check it, right? But the problem is that getting Apple to create government OS or FBI OS, if you wanted to call it that, was the wrong way to do it. You can't have your cake and eat it too here. And you've got other aspects of the national intelligence apparatus saying that the country as a whole is more protected with encrypted communications because there's all these other powers from criminal organizations and foreign governments who want to get into our stuff. They want to steal our information. They want to steal. Sometimes it's industrial espionage. It's bank accounts. It's stuff that you can use to blackmail people. As a whole, this is so well understood by the folks who actually know. And Senator Feinstein should be one of those people.
Well, her push to get legislation to require backdoors into our devices is back on. So
it's back on, yeah.
Yeah, so don't know how far her bill will make it, but she wants that to happen. So
hopefully it'll die again.
Hopefully it'll die again.
I should point out, I feel a little compelled to point out here, Jeff, that Senator Feinstein is a Democrat. She's one of the few, but not the only Democrat who is on board with this way of thinking. The reason why I'm pointing that out is because I think I would have made sure to point out if it was a Republican that was saying the same thing. So, equal time here.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. We need to wrap up. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
And Adam, thank you for being here as well.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have both of you. It's also great that iMazing is our sponsor today. Head over to their website, imazing.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO and get 20% off your copy of iMazing. It's a great tool, totally worth the price. Go pick up your copy today. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.